Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home solutions that fit your life, Rocket Ken, what a gorgeous Friday. We got Tiger Woods on the golf course. We got the Eastern Conference and Western Conference finals going on. But Maggie, it doesn't seem like America is ready to let go of a 70-year-old college football coach from Alabama. Nick Saban still seems like he's on the hook with America.
Well, Perloff, when you have a day unlike we've ever seen in the history of college football, at least in this era of, you know, Twitter and social media and everything, you know, it's going to linger. And the reason why is because it seems very obvious that Nick Saban is incredibly threatened here. And he's threatened by how the rules in college football are changing. It's something that he can't control. It's something that could give a boost to his competitors. And it's something that he's going to have to deal with that's kept him and could, you know, have the dominance that Alabama has enjoyed and that Nick Saban has presided over for the last decade or so. It's threatening that dominance. And, you know, as we're listening to Nick Saban apologize yesterday, yet still continue to rail against this new system and these collectives and all that, I can't help but think this has more to do with how Nick Saban believes his career at Alabama is going to end. His legacy at Alabama and in the coaching world is set. It's unassailable. Perloff, there's nothing like, there's nobody who could poke holes in that resume, you know, and say he's not worthy of being the greatest or one of the greatest college coaches in football of all time. But he's got to be thinking, how is my tenure going to end? And am I going to pass this program off at the peak and still at the top? Or am I witnessing the beginning of the end of Alabama's dominance? And I think that's what's partially fueling this uncharacteristic behavior from Nick Saban.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. These are definitely the hard times in Tuscaloosa. This was the first real recruiting period with NIL. And what did he fall to, Maggie? What, were we 50th in the country, 37th in the country?
Second, Perloff, the first loser.
Second, they had the number two rated recruiting class in the country. They don't always get number one recruiting. A lot of schools get that one spot. He's fine. Why? Who do you think gets the most NIL money in the country? Alabama players. Bryce Young got more NIL money than anybody else. Why will Alabama fall off because of NIL? And by the way, he's already stacked for the next 4 years. He has no, how is his legacy going to be in danger? He's 70. He's going to be good till at least 75.
No, the legacy is not in danger. The legacy is there. I would never say anything bad about Saban and his legacy. I'm talking about the future.
What's wrong with
right
the future?
Now,
they're going to destroy NIL. They're going to absolutely make it their, I don't want to use that word. But they're going to,
yeah, what do you, make them their what for a long time?
You guys all know what I'm saying.
Their daddy.
He is going to own NIL like no coach has ever owned NIL. If he puts his mind to it, because he's owned every other aspect of the sport. What is it? I know there's a lot of money in Texas and Oregon and all these places. But and there's not a necessarily in Alabama, but Alabama's like the Dallas Cowboys of the sport. Shouldn't they be able to find some money?
Okay, so I think that he himself is showing you that he feels at least a bit insecure about Alabama's ability to raise money and to have as money, much money in these collectives as some of these other schools. But you know, it's funny. You and I have talked about this over the last 48 hours. And, you know, the idea that when Nick Saban was really, you know, concerned about spread offenses, right? And this was going back a couple of years ago, and he was warning everyone that this is not good for college football. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, he's crafting, like, you know, how to change his program and compete, and ends up coming up with, you know, a high-flying offense, and boom, you know, back in the national championship, winning national championships. That's something in some ways that the coach can control. He's a brilliant football coach. Changing your offense is something that's absolutely within his purview. Getting the millionaires who love Alabama to pony up is not really in his control. To get people to spend more than the Texas A&M boosters, or to get more money that's going to be in a Michigan collective or Oregon or whatever, like, he can't control any of that.
Wait, what?
First of all,
that's what college football coaches do. They're basically salesmen. I mean, he's been a fundraiser his entire career. I mean, that's part of what you do as a college football coach.
He has to believe that maybe he has squeezed as much out of the stone as he possibly can, and there's no more reinforcements of this collective and NIL money coming. And, like, you know, it's funny because while Saban is, you know, complaining about the state of college football, he is longing for the days of parity, which is crazy. Yeah. You know, Stuart Mandel, our good friend, wrote something really funny yesterday in The Athletic where he said, this is Alabama, Nick Saban talking about parity is like Amazon saying, hey, quick, we got to make sure, you know, if we don't do something, all the small bookstores are going to go out of business. It's like, it's parity is a delusion in Nick Saban's mind. Yeah. Just because you have the same number of scholarships or room and board, like, that never equated to parity in college football. So I'm only going by what I see. I see someone who is more toward the end of their career than towards the beginning, and somebody whose dominance is being threatened. And I think someone who wanted to probably ride this dominance into their retirement, and that is potentially no longer going to be the case.
So I disagree with you because I don't think their dominance is being that severely threatened. I mean, he is Alabama. Like we mentioned yesterday, his agent, Jimmy Sexton, is with CAA. If you go to Bryce Young's Twitter page, he says, contact me at CAA if you want to do marketing. He's got the big guns behind the NIL machine, like the creative arts agency. The biggest guns there are in this country are marketing the Alabama football program. He is going to be fine. And the other thing too, Maggie, it's not like there hasn't been money coming out of Texas schools to players before. It's not like you telling me, I mean, I saw the movie Johnny B. Goode with Anthony Michael Hall, and the old Tex was paying
research.
Yeah, it was paying tons of money to Johnny. And I guess what? Old Tex wasn't winning titles. Texas is not winning. The rich programs could have pressed that advantage in the past. I think Nick Saban is being a little bit strategic here. He's saying these things manipulatively, less so than genuine concern. I think he's trying to figure out the situation and make it work for him, because that's what Nick Saban does. You know, you said he figured out the spread offense and was back to winning championships. He never stopped winning championships. He was winning with the non-spread. He had, like, no downtime. He's incredible at adjusting on the fly. So I just feel like Alabama's going to generate money. I don't know what he's doing exactly. You're right. It doesn't, on its surface, it does seem like he's terrified of NIL, but I just don't get that. It doesn't compute for me.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Do you see this as Nick Saban being concerned about how his tenure at Alabama is going to end? Because he's firing this off like it's a warning shot to all of college football, but meanwhile, it's really just a warning shot to Alabama. It's being masqueraded by Saban and being sold like this is bad for college football. It's just bad for him. And you know what? To Perloff's point, we're not even sure how bad it's actually going to be.
Well, he had the number two class, and this is the NIL era. It obviously hasn't hurt him at all yet. I mean, in any real way. Well, I had a theory that he's trying to drive up the price for Texas A&M players, where he's sending out the message, hey, if you sign with them, you better get the big money because they are paying for players.
Wow.
I mean, this is college football, Maggie. You're very Machiavellian. They invented this stuff. I mean, they are out there on the recruiting trail saying who knows what.
You know, I'll believe anything. I'll also believe that maybe it was the fact that wide receiver Jordan Addison, who was formerly of Pitt, entered the transfer portal and decided to go to USC over Alabama. And maybe that's what got in the coach's craw. It could have been all of these things. But if you don't think that Saban is considering about how this is going to be for the next whatever 5, 10 years, however much longer he's going to coach, I think it absolutely plays in. And I'm not saying that the coach is scared. I think I'm saying that the coach is concerned, and I think that he's certainly, certainly feeling threatened. You know who Perloff does not seem to have a care in the world about all of this?
Who's that?
Is Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
So we were waiting yesterday thinking, you thought that Jimbo Fisher had the fun back and forth and unloaded the verbal clip on Saban. Like, wait till Deion Sanders gets in on this. It's going to be hilarious. Get your popcorn ready. But meanwhile, Deion was basically the most measured, most mature, most adult person in this triangle. All he said, and you know what? We can't even play audio for you because he didn't even say it into a camera or microphone. He said it to a print reporter or online reporter and basically said, you know what? I still respect Nick Saban. He's wrong on this one. He doesn't have his facts right, but everything's going to be okay. And don't worry about us. We're good. It's like, what? That's it? That's all we get from Deion Sanders?
That's not primetime. That's like a Tuesday afternoon. Well, you're going to have to change his name from primetime.
Yeah, to midday.
Yeah, that was, I mean, is it okay that we're disappointed with it? It was a great response that I certainly respect Deion for it, but come on, give us something, Deion. What are you doing?
It was, he wouldn't take the bait. And you know what? I applaud him for that because, you know, he could have gotten right down there in the muck with Jimbo and just could have gotten down there just to get a headline. But, you know, Deion Sanders has gotten enough headlines over his life and his career. He obviously didn't feel like he needed one there. I love when he said, you know, the one thing, though, is he's not letting Saban off the hook on one thing, which is he said he did not take Saban's call and he is not going to be smoothing this over and talking it out with Saban privately. He said, Saban said this publicly. We can, you know, we can talk about it publicly when he wants to apologize. So,
yeah. By the way, I don't understand one thing about this Deion Sanders, Travis Hunter issue, the superstar who could have gone anywhere, who decommitted from Florida State. And Nick Saban said that he earned $1 million. Look it up in the paper. Now, by the way, Travis Hunter should be getting $1 million next year. Like, he's worth, like, if Bryce Young, he's the number one recruit in the country. He's one of the most spectacular recruits in a long time. He's a, you know, he's a cornerback, but he's also a wide receiver. Like, he should get a hefty NIL deal, by the way. Deion said that's absolutely not true. But I would hope that Travis Hunter, I don't understand, Travis Hunter chose Jackson State. I'd like to hear Deion, like, explain, go through this, because I would hope Travis Hunter would get a great deal at Jackson State. You know, he probably earned $1 million by being there. I hope he's not foregoing $1 million. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, right now, from the latest I could read, he's got like two deals, both worth $250,000 that are both pending at this time. So it's not like he's making, but that's what I read. Who knows? I mean, that's not even probably any of our business. But I think you're right about what he's worth. I mean, way more than that.
Well, deals of $500,000 is pretty good. I'm not, and that's not bad for a college freshman. I don't know what you made as an 18-year-old, Maggie, but I would
not that.
No, you know, I think that bottom line, you and I both agree on that these players should be getting paid. I don't think, like, that's not even getting into the conversation. So the question, I think Nick's just confusing everybody with, like, what's he saying? Like, it still doesn't totally make sense. So he's saying that schools are promising NIL to come to our school. Yeah, no duh, right?
Well, technically, I guess that's against the rules, but what he didn't count on is the fact that nobody cares now.
Yes, that's what
nobody cares. That
was well said.
Because we think the players should be getting paid, but I'm curious what people think about Saban. Not his legacy, that's in stone, but does this feel like it's a threat to the end of his career and the end and how he's going to leave Alabama? Yes, he has the number two recruiting class in the country. I mean, A&M did beat them last year. I'm curious to see what it's going to be like this year in Tuscaloosa, and that's October 8th. So we've got a lot more to get to today, but want to get your Saban calls. Coming up later in the hour, Monty Burke's going to join us. He wrote a fascinating book about Nick Saban, so we'll get a little bit into the psyche of the coach with Monty. Really looking forward to that. But next up is you. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Maggie and Perloff hanging with you on this Friday. We've got a lot of ground to cover today, but want to hear from you. And, of course, coming up, the Lakers down to three finalists for their head coach, Perloff.
Wow, are these exciting names? Am I going to be knocked off my chair for these?
Hold on to your hats. We've got that for you next. Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 158. Don't move.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're back on Maggie and Perloff. A little disagreement here in the show. Maggie thinks that Nick Saban is worried that the end of days for him will not be great at Alabama, where I totally see what you're saying, but I think it's not necessarily that. I think he's just trying to manipulate the current situation to maximum benefit for Alabama. I don't see them falling off much, even with this new college football universe. Does that sum up our takes?
I think so. I guess like what I would say is we also cannot view this just through like our lens. You got to think about it through a Saban lens, like the Belichick lens, where any like faltering, this is like catastrophic for these types of coaches. You know, we joke around that Texas A&M got the number one recruiting class and Alabama got the second recruiting class. So, oh my gosh, you know, oh my God, Nick Saban, you know, it's really fallen off a cliff. You know, you're not one, you're two. To him, I think it does feel that way. I think it does feel like the sky is falling. These are not coaches who I think like Saban or Belichick. These aren't moral victory guys. He was like, remember he cracked a smile when Georgia won last year, I think because he was happy for Kirby Smart for like 2 seconds. And that was like national news, Perloff.
Yeah, but absolutely. That was weird how nice he was to Kirby Smart. But
we were shocked.
They're not number one every year. I mean, they've had to they've had to compete. I think I'm looking at a list. You know, not every year, just 7 out of 10, Maggie. I don't know what you're talking about. Georgia got them.
You don't think Saban fixates on those three?
Well, I don't even think this is accurate, by the way. Georgia, I'm on Fox College Football. Georgia got 2020 and 2018. And now we see, obviously, they did because they were about half the first round of the draft. You know, Saban's got a bigger Kirby Smart problem than Jimbo Fisher problem, I believe. not to mention, as Brian Kelly coming into the party, hey, we got a bunch of calls. Let's get to some talk about Nick Saban. Give us a call, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Is Nick Saban worried about the end of his tenure at Alabama? Let's go to Charles in South Carolina. Charles, what do you think?
Hey, I don't think so at all. I understand what your point is in terms of him falling from one to two seems like a big deal, and I think you're probably right. He seems to be a perfectionist, so being second or first loser is probably a big story. But as far as someone's point saying that Alabama was going to fall off the cliff and not be a dominant team because of NIL makes no sense to me. I think there was an article that they were valued as over $1 billion. I think they were the third most valuable college program in the country. So I don't see that going anywhere. They're a national brand, and dollars are going to follow national brands. So if they're still a relevant team, dollars are still going to them, which keeps them as a relevant team because that's where these kids are going to go based on the current rules. I hope to hell they change it because it doesn't benefit anybody, in my opinion, outside of the agents, because I think that something needs to get put in place to protect these kids from all this money that's just throwing around crazily.
Well, I don't know. I mean, and Charles, thanks for the call. I you know, listen, I'd rather have it be like this, where you hire an agent, you pay them whatever fee, but it's all above the table than what's been going on for decades and decades before, which is you've got some sort of street agent. It's this very sort of loose thing based on promises and, you know, not actually like illegal documents. Like the NIL deals are state by state. Like these are legal documents that kids are signing. And yes, you hope that they're protected from vultures and things like that, but there's way less corruption in theory going on now that everything's out in the open than before.
But good point, but I know what Charles is saying. There's a bit of a wild west aspect to NIL. I've heard there's a lot of sort of wonky deals going along, and a lot of people, as you'd expect, you know how it is, Maggie. People are
of course.
It's just like it's always been in college sports. Like people are flocking to these young athletes trying to make money, and I'm sure there's some bad deals that have either been floated or signed. But hopefully, you're like you said, it's better than it was before. Okay, let's go to Greg in New Mexico. Greg, what's your thoughts on Saban?
I don't think he's worried at all about going out on a down limb. I think they're doing just fine. I think the speech that he was given, that he gave the LeBron on, he's speaking basically to a room that's full of boosters and potential boosters. I think he's sending them a message that to make sure he wants Alabama boosters to make sure they stay on top of the money pile for the NIL is what I think was going on.
You know, I think that's probably a generous read here. I think that he's talking to business owners like, hey, everyone's going to have to do their part here. But he's also, and that could be one aspect of it, Greg, and I think you're probably right about that. I think there's another aspect, though, where I think Saban is concerned. It's not just about Alabama anymore. And when you have like a change in the athlete's mind of, you know, oh, there's like not just one option for me, and not just that, but everyone's coming from a different sort of, you know, background urgency, you know, to make your money. And you know what, who could forgive somebody for just, I don't want to say go to the highest bidder, because I know that's not exactly how it's working, but if you are in a dire financial situation, a couple $100,000 could really change your situation in the present. Not everyone is moving on to guaranteed NFL dollars. You know, not everybody can make that calculation and say, oh, well, I'll take less now, but, you know, when I get to the NFL, then I'm really going to cash in. for most of these guys, they're trying to get as much as they can now, and I don't begrudge them for that.
But I don't understand. So why is the formula changed, though, with NIL? Like, Alabama's still got to be the place where you could presumably get as much money as anywhere. I mean, it's not like Alabama's always had competition. I mean, Dabo Sweeney has obviously provided a lot of serious competition. Trevor Lawrence didn't go to Alabama. I mean, like, obviously he's had Clemson problems. But my point is, like, yeah, Alabama should just destroy. Like, NIL should actually be an avenue where they can really pay players and really just, like, get even more talent.
You know, I would agree with you normally, but I'm just looking at the behavior that I've seen from Nick Saban. So unless you think he really is concerned about the greater good, the quote-unquote parity that's going to be lost in college football, as if that ever existed, then I don't think it's Nick Saban simply looking out for the future of the sport. I mean, I'm not saying the guy is only worried about Alabama, but kind of feels like he's worried about Alabama.
All right.
I don't know what other read you'd have on it.
Yeah, I mean, but he could be manipulating the situation as he's done 100 times in the past. Let's go to Sean in Oregon. Sean, what's going on?
Hey, you guys. I think there's a lot of national brands out there. I mean, there's USC, there's Texas Longhorns, Ohio State. Oregon's going to start rising up. There's a lot of stuff going on, and I think between the NIL and the transfer portal, things are changing at warp speed.
Yep.
And when you're 70 years old and this stuff starts going on, it's really changing warp speed. And I think Nick Saban, you know, he's 70 years old. His philosophy's old. You know, this is when you're 70 years old, you were trained by 95-year-old people. And his philosophy is getting real old, you guys. And it's going to be a lot harder to recruit. And he can see the writings on the wall. This is a guy that's been around for, like I said, a long time. So, I mean, he's seeing this happen before we do. He's the guy in the business. And now, you know, I see him, he's crying. And I'm glad to hear it. Glad to hear him crying right now because he can see that it's coming to an end. It's going to come to an end real shortly. Have a great day.
Yeah, that was an Oregon Duck fan speaking there. I get the feeling not a huge Alabama fan to start with.
I get it, though, but think about the people who Saban name-checked, right? And he apologized for naming and singling out people. But who did he name-check?
Jimbo Texas and A&M. Dion. Yeah.
Right. And, okay, so yes, Texas A&M. Deion Sanders, who, Deion, though, brings a different type of thing. Deion brings a celebrity that, and because of his amazing career, brings a gravitas in that way that is, you know, that's a whole other category, right? But he also name checked Miami. And it was like Miami basketball of all things. You know, I know they were in the Sweet 16 this last time around, but like we don't really think of Miami basketball as the big powerhouse. But it's like he's concerned about these schools that have the massive donor bases, right? You talk about A&M, you talk about Miami. I mean, you're gonna be you're just loaded at both of those schools.
I don't know. Definitely. I don't think he was worried about Deion. He was worried that the number one recruit in the country went to Jackson State. I mean, that is a remarkable situation. Maybe the most remarkable recruiting story in 50 years. I mean, that's a big deal. I think that was a change to him. So
I know, but it comes off as sour grapes, though, Perloff, because first of all, his information wasn't accurate. You know, Travis Hunter's not getting $1 million. And, so Saban looks a little silly there because it's just not true. Even if he's trying to sell this to the people in the room, he's so wildly off on that number, we believe. So that's
I mean, like, you would bet a week's pay that Travis Hunter is not going to have a big NIL deal.
I think it's going to be big, but I don't know if it's $1 million. I mean,
that's not a lot. Jordan Addison was reported to get $8 million. I mean, I hope it's $1 million.
Saban's own quarterback got $1 million,
yeah,
right?
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not that radical a take. Wait, there's this.
So he sounds like sour grapes here, and instead, Deion just recruited this guy and did a great job.
All right, everybody wants to get in on this. Let's get a couple more calls. Paul in Portland, what you got?
Hello.
Hey, Paul.
Hello.
My equivalent is Richard Nixon. So Richard Nixon, when he had his second term, couldn't win by enough. he had to do everything he could to do it. So I think he was assuredly going to win, as Saban is assuredly going to continue to win. But he seems, with the spread problem and everything like that, he wants every advantage that he can. So I just see this as an unreasonable, you know, dominance he wants.
Paul, are you alleging that Saban needs dirty tricks to try to solidify
No, I have a lot of respect. I am a Duck fan, but I have the most respect for Nick Saban. But
you're not alleging that he's going to be robbing the headquarters of the Democratic National Committee on Watergate, right?
No, he just wants every strategic advantage that he can have. I believe he's just super competitive, and he's going to take every shot that he can to remain, you know, where he's at.
By the way, G. Gordon Liddy and the Watergate crew, they have nothing on SEC recruiting. They're the Mississippi State of SEC recruiting. Are you kidding me? That is above board compared to what goes on a Tuesday on that recruiting trail. So I'm not going to – I do like that Nixon thing. And I do think there is some truth to that. Like, Nick Saban, I think he could, and I think you would probably agree, he could keep winning for 3 or 4 years. But he's got this Belichick thing where winning isn't enough. Like, he's got to, like – press every button.
Perloff, may I just case in point, and I know you guys think I'm obsessed with Belichick, because I am, that even a decade after Spygate, he was still videotaping on the sidelines. This just happened with the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Patriots got fined for it, and they got in trouble for it, and this was like 3 years ago.
Yep.
These kind of coaches are wired. I'm not saying Saban's doing anything illegal. I'm saying they're wired to find every single advantage. Paul's totally right on this. Saban is got to be freaking because he has not found the angle yet.
I don't know. Freaking seems strong. I tell you, did this with a spread offense. He did the same exact thing. All right, one more call, then we'll go to break. Let's hear from Mike in California. Mike, what's going on, buddy?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, Mike.
So I think that Saban's seeing something that I think is being overlooked by a lot of people. Yes, it's causing a change, but now all of a sudden some of these schools that maybe have not been in a position to do anything unethical, like a USC or even an A&M, because they've already been scrutinized in the past, they're being watched a lot more closely. The floodgates are open for them now. All those restrictions and all that fear of getting caught doing what they've done before is gone, which puts them back on a level playing field with teams and schools that have been doing it. So I think you're going to see a much more competitive market, and I think you're going to see a lot of these schools out there that used to be great, got in trouble, are going to be able to rise back up again and reclaim it, because obviously the money was there. It was there before, and it doesn't have to be done under the tables or backdoor deals and smaller amounts so that you hope you don't get caught. They can open the checkbook now. And I think that checkbook being opened up, Saban sees that and says that me being able to get these guys to the NFL may not be enough anymore for some of these tier two players that are going to finalize and keep my team being competitive on the hopes that they can get to the NFL when they know that they're not, but they can go someplace and get $400,000 or $500,000, $600,000 and set themselves up for the future.
Yeah. Mike, I like that take. I like that. I think that's interesting, right? Especially about the other programs who have gotten in trouble, and you saw it's been very difficult to recover from that fully, you know, and they've been scrutinized a lot, and now they don't have any reason to have to hide anymore. That's an interesting take. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Although I got to see Miami rise again before I buy it. That program, because they've been kind of rising on and off for the last 5 years. We'll see.
Okay, so our conversation about Nick Saban is going to continue. Joining us next, Monty Burke, author of Saban, The Making of a Coach. We're going to dive in even more to Nick Saban coming up in just a moment.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. Now, we've been talking about Nick Saban all week long, Maggie. I have a friend who's
No, it's just felt like that, Perloff. Only been 2 days.
Oh, yeah. But I was just saying, we've actually talked about him a lot over the last 5 months. But I have a friend who talks about Nick Saban his entire life, basically. Well, it feels that way, too. My friend Monty Burke, who is the author of Saban, The Making of a Coach, as well as many outstanding books that are all available for Father's Day, including Saban, The Making of a Coach, and Lords of the Fly, which is awesome. But he's here to not talk fishing today, to talk Alabama football. Monty, how you doing?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
What's your reaction to this crazy week with Nick Saban?
You know, it's really odd because I feel like it's a rare misstep for him. You know, he always talks about rat poison, which is the stuff outside of the actual football, which takes away, takes your eye off the ball a little bit. And he's kind of created it himself here. Now, you know, I think he misspoke a little bit. I don't think he didn't really mean to say, I don't think that, like, Jimbo was buying players, like, in the old kind of bagman way, but that they, you know, figured out some new way to do the NIL stuff. But still, you know, Saban rarely misspeaks. You know, he's always calculated. He usually uses press conferences or public speaking gigs to kind of address an audience that he thinks needs to hear something, you know, whether it's a recruiting class or sometimes his team, sometimes it's the university bigwig, sometimes it's donors. You know, I agree with Deion Sanders that his intention with this was to get his donors kind of going. Like, you know, look what Texas A&M is doing. Let's do the same thing. But I think in saying that, you know, Jimbo, quote, pays his players, I mean, he got some kind of loaded words in there. I also think it's fascinating. I mean, these are two – sorry, Maggie, go ahead.
No. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say these are two, you know, the good old West Virginia boys here going at it. I mean, you know, they're two self-made guys coming out of coal country. I mean, they were worked together at one time, of course, at LSU. They were friendly. They, Jimbo – has said that it was hard to work for Nick back then as well. They have the same agent, you know, but I think Jimbo gets under Nick's skin a little bit. And I think Jimbo tries to get under his skin. You know, he was the first assistant to beat him, though Kirby and Kiffin had come kind of close. He beat him on the field last year. He beat him off it this past recruiting season. And, you know, he got some recruits, particularly on the defensive line that Saban really wanted.
Monty Burke is our guest. He's the author of Saban, The Making of a Coach, and the perfect person to talk to today because we're having this conversation about Nick Saban and, like, his psyche. And Monty, I know that he rarely misspeaks, but he will use any microphone now to rail against these collectives and just sort of the changes coming in college football. How threatened do you think he feels by some of these changes?
You know, what's interesting is that whenever he's railed about something in the past, and this has been kind of, you know, covered before, but, like, you know, when he railed about spread offenses, for instance, it was less of a complaint and more of a warning shot.
Right.
You know, he complained about the spread offenses, and then all of a sudden, you know, we got Tua and we got Bryce Young and we got, you know, he does it better than anyone else. But, you know, I do wonder at this time, I wonder if this is just the sand shifts so much on this NIL stuff. I mean, it's good thing, if you think back to when it kind of all started not long ago, it's already changed and morphed into something almost completely different. And I do wonder, you know, he's 7 years old. You know, I do wonder if at some point he's like, man, I just don't want to deal with yet another thing. You know, like, he kind of figured it out. And once he figures it out, the sand seems to shift again under his feet. I do wonder that a little bit.
Monty, so Jimbo Fisher said, call Nick's former assistants to ask about the skeletons in his closet. Now, I know for your book, you talked to a lot of people who work with Nick Saban. Was this just bluster, or do you really think that there's skeletons that we have no idea about?
You know, I talked to a bunch of people, and I think I talked to 263 people for that book. So, you know, everybody, even talked to Jimbo, who didn't, by the way, mention anything. So, you know, and of course there are rumors that go around, but nothing that I could substantiate. And I talked to some people who just can't stand the guy, right? And nothing that I could ever substantiate. Now, I don't know if they're all kind of doing something. You know, I just don't know. To me, Jimbo's response was more, you know, Jimbo's kind of an excitable guy. And I think Jimbo's feeling it. You know, he beat him on the field last season. He beat him in recruiting. You know, I also thought it was interesting that Jimbo used Bobby Bowden as kind of the paragon of ethical coaching. That's kind of an interesting person to use, you know, considering all the scandals that, that Bowden went through. But, you know, to me a little bit, this is like the scorned, not son, but kind of son-like figure. Like when, you know, that you're doing the same thing your dad did and your dad barks at you and you just bark back. I mean, it's very emotional. Jimbo's press conference was obviously not very scripted and it was incredibly emotional.
Yeah, Monty Burke is our guest. He wrote the book, Saban, The Making of a Coach. When we spoke to Andy Staples yesterday, he said, and that was 24 hours after. Like, you know, this is Jimbo right. sleeping on it. And he still came out and was firing like that, unloading the verbal clip there. You know, Monty, you mentioned it, you know, Saban being 70 years old and might be saying, like, geez, another thing. You know, you mentioned the sand shifting underneath and in the whole sport of college football. We just saw Jay Wright walk away from Villanova. He cited this, you know, as the reasons and the changing for the reason he wanted to step away. You know, Saban is 70, but obviously still as sharp as ever and at the top of his game. Do you think this is what would push him out of coaching and into the media or onto the next venture?
You know, I don't think so. I mean, if you look at it, okay, so he didn't have the number one recruiting class this year. Guess which number he was? 2. It's not like he went from 1 to 10 or 1 to 15 or anything like that. I mean, he certainly has lost his touch. If anything, you know, like I said before, whenever he gets kind of mad about something, I remember him being really mad about the way that defenses had to change. You couldn't have big, bulky linebackers anymore. You had to have, you know, 230-pound speedsters as linebackers. And he got him. He went out and recruited these whole, you know, his ability to adapt and adjust is just amazing. And I think that's what kind of keeps him going. So in some ways, though, I feel like he's very frustrated enough for the first time that he really did, I think, step on it and step in it here. I do think that this is yet another kind of like, you know, what else is going to motivate this guy at this point, right? I mean, he is kind of, you know, unequivocally the greatest college football coach of all time. You know, more championships than anyone, you know, still has great recruiting classes, more guys in the NFL, all of that stuff. So, you know, hey, maybe this is just a, you know, maybe like Tiger Woods, he's always looking, and Kobe Bryant, same thing, always looking for something to motivate him. And I, knowing him, even though he is 70, you know, I can see this being more of a motivating factor than something that compels him to think about retirement.
Monty, what about ESPN? Remember a couple years ago he sat in on game day and it seemed like there was a mutual appreciation there. Is that something that would be of interest to Nick Saban?
I think he's great at it and I think he would definitely do it. I mean, I think he, you know, the thing is peeling him away from, you know, everybody obviously knows his kind of philosophy is known as the process. And what the process is really is just a series of tiny little things like making sure that the cafeteria has the right food. You know, making sure that the play sheet for the practice is all laminated. Little things like that. Those are things that animate him. I mean, it's not necessarily. I mean, I think winning championships is all like the kind of the cherry on top. But he loves the sort of minutia of coaching a football team and managing a football team. And he's basically a CEO. You know, he manages this entire huge program, which is such a big part of that school. It's such a big part of the South. It's such a big part of really the national. You know, scene. And I think he just loves that so much. So I do think, you know, when he's done, I don't think he's going to go out and just garden. you know, I think he'll want something else to do. He's going to be in better shape when he's done than old Bear Bryant was. If you remember, Bear Bryant died like 29 days after he retired from coaching, but that had a lot to do with the bourbon and the cigarettes.
Joe Paterno, days after he retired, or months.
Did it too. That's right. That's right. But I feel like, you know, I think Saban just likes working so much. He could just turn that. I don't know. I could see him being so great on ESPN. Maybe not as a you know, play-by-play or an analyst, but certainly as a studio commentator.
Monty, we just have a minute left and can't tell you how much we appreciate you doing this. It's been great talking with you.
Of course.
You know, we hear it with like Coach K, for example, who just retired, right? He had the successor already. You know, it's going to be John Shire. You know, we obviously saw this a little bit more surprising maybe with Roy Williams. But, you know, who is possibly in the pipeline to succeed Nick Saban?
Well, the name always tossed around is Dabo. Dabo, of course, went to Alabama. And, you know, that's always – I think if you run into an Alabama fan on the street in Birmingham and you say, who would you want to come in and take over? They would probably say Dabo. But, you know, I have no idea. Dabo's got a good thing going in Clemson, first of all. Good thing going on. He recruits incredibly well. I know he's had a down year or two here, but, you know, who would want, it's very hard to follow up these guys, right? I mean, it's like the bar is set so high that you have to wonder if some of the people who are sort of tabbed to be the person in waiting even want the job. Like, is it better for Dabo and kind of his, you know, psyche and his well-being just to stay put in Clemson and keep building there? Or is it better to come over to Alabama and come over with all that baggage of this, you know, all these national titles and this incredible program and sort of have to, you know, live up to some previous glory? It's a great question. I mean, of course, other Alabama fans are like, oh, no, we'll just get Kirby.
Yeah, he's fresh off a national championship. Why doesn't he just come on over? You hear the music there, Monty. We're up against the break. Again, right. Can't tell you how much we appreciate this. Saban, The Making of a Coach. It's a must read. Perloff mentioned for Father's Day as well.
Roll Tide.
Just the best. Thanks, Monty. We'll talk to you soon. Maggie and Perloff, we return in a moment. Don't move.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.